the number one ladies' detective agency, written and dramatized by Alexander McCall Smith. Episode 2, The Best Profession for a Blackmailer.
When you are on a diet, which I was at the time, the ordinary things in your life, the ordinary chores, can make you feel heavily burdened. As a detective, Botswana's only lady detective and owner, of course, of the number one ladies' detective agency, I often have matters to attend to which weigh me down. The most important one was the case of Poppy, the assistant cook who had come to see me about her boss, Mart Sau, who had threatened to dismiss her. Poppy had found out that Ma Sau was feeding her husband with the best of the food that belonged to the government college where they worked. Then Ma Sau had received an anonymous letter telling her that unless she paid money, her stealing of the food would be reported to the authorities. Ma Sau thought it was Poppy who had written this, and said that she would fire her from her job at the first opportunity. Poppy, though, told me that she had not written this letter. So who had? I had to find that out, and I knew that it would be difficult. People don't sign anonymous letters. It's a pity, but I wish they would. Then there were other problems. There was that business at the game reserve at Mokolodi. Why were people unhappy down there? Could I please sort that out too? Oh dear, and my diet, of course. You would think that being on a diet is all right when you are in the office, and that it is only at home, in the kitchen, that it is trying. But that is not the case, as I was about to find out.
There, Marumutsi. I have finished typing that letter. There is only one mistake which I have crossed out. There is a knot where there should not be a knot. That knot is not there anymore.
Thank you, Mama Kutsi. It's odd, isn't it, how one little word can change everything.
Oh, little words are very powerful, Ma. Mm-hmm. They taught us that at the Botswana Secretarial College. They said, be careful of the little words which can change everything. Look at the difference between saying I do and saying I don't. Two extra letters, big difference.
The difference being getting married and not getting married, Ma, I believe. Do you think that anybody ever says, I don't, when they are asked in the church? Do you think there are some brave ladies who say, I don't?
It must happen, Ma. Huh? And then, oh dear, there would be all that food for the guests waiting there. Would they eat it, do you think? Or would they have to go home without eating all the food cooked for the wedding feast?
Yes, all that food.
But on the subject of food, Marumutsi, look at the time. It's time for me to make some tea and look what I have here in this packet. Look. Don't they look delicious? One for you and one for me. A special treat.
Donuts, Ma.
I bought them on the way in. I went past that little shop. You know the one painted red? That one. Somebody told me that they get their donuts from that bakery up past the hotel there. The one that all those nice smells come from. That one.
I don't think that I will have a donut today, Ma. Thank you very much, but no.
No donut? Well, I am always happy to have two. Oh, there's that new man through there, Mr. Polo Petsy. He looks as if he could do some building up. Or maybe I could give the other one to the apprentices to share. Charlie and that younger one, they would eat this donut. Young men are always hungry, aren't they, Ma?
And some ladies, too.
This is very delicious. I like it when there is plenty of grease and they turn the paper bag all dark. And the sugar. I like it when they are given a really good dusting of sugar so that it gets all over your lips. Like this. You see that? Sugar. And then you can lick it off your fingers. You don't want sugar on your typewriter keys. No. You must lick it all off before.
We don't have to eat donuts all day, you know. There are other things to do.
You You'd never go on a diet, would you, Maramotswe?
As a matter of fact, Ma, I am on a diet. I am already beginning to lose weight. See that? A few days ago, this dress was very tight. Now it's just tight.
Oh, I see. Well, you can't expect everybody to stop eating, Ma, just because you are on a diet.
I do not expect that, Ma. But I repeat what I said before. There are other things to do than sit about and eat donuts. I, for one, have some work to do. I'm going off to see that Ma Sau, the lady whose husband... There's another person who eats too much, I believe. I'm going to go and have a word with her about Poppy. There is work to do, Ma. Mama Kutsi, those are very fine shoes you are wearing. I have just seen them. They are those blue shoes, aren't they? The ones we saw in the shop.
Yes, Maramotswe, they are. I decided to buy them after all.
They are very beautiful.
Thank you.
And so small. Narrow, I mean. They must make your feet feel very dainty.
They are very fashionable, Ma. That is the fashion today.
Well, you must be very pleased with them. I'm happy for you, Ma. But, Ma, once we have finished our tea and our donuts, in the case of those eating donuts, we shall have to get on with our investigations. We cannot sit here all day. There is that woman to go and see, that Ma Sau.
So this is the college. I have seen it from the other side of the fence. It is a very nice looking place.
Yes, these young people are very lucky these days. They have the government to build nice schools and colleges for them.
And to make nice lunches for them too, Ma. Mm-hmm. Good lunches with meat.
If any is left over after the cook's husband.
Yes, what a shocking thing. All that government food going down his greedy throat. That is the sort of thing we cannot tolerate in Botswana. Mm. There may be other countries in Africa where the husbands of cooks are very fat, but not Botswana.
We are here on righteous business, Mama Kutsi. We are stopping something very wicked.
Well, a little bit wicked, maybe.
Yes, ladies. You said that you wanted to talk to me. Mm. I'm Matsau.
Dumela, Matsau. I'm Mara Motswe, and this is Mama Kutsi. I wanted to speak to you, please.
Very well, but I'm a very busy woman. Are you wanting to sell something? We do not buy directly in the kitchen. You have to talk to the supplies officer.
Oh, no, I have nothing to sell, Ma. I want to talk.
Who are you, Ma? What do you want to speak to me about? I have told you I am a busy woman.
It is about your husband.
My husband? You want to speak to me about my husband? What is this about my husband? You are the mother of one of those girls, are you, Ma? That is why you have come to speak to me?
I hear what you say, Ma. Your husband...
It's been going on for many years, Ma. Just after we were married, even then, he started to
eat?
What are you saying, Ma? What is this about eating, eh? He started this thing just after we were married. I told him how stupid he looked running after those young girls, but he ignored me. They were 17, 18... I told him that I would leave him, but he just laughed and said that I should do that. But I could not, Ma. I could not.
You love him, Ma. Is that it?
Yes, I love him. That is true. I love him.
That is what it is like for us women, isn't it, Ma? We love these men. They do not deserve it sometimes, but we love them.
We are very weak. And your daughter?
I have no daughter.
Then why have you come to talk about him? Is it the daughter of your friend here? Is it your daughter?
I have no daughter either.
Then why are you here? Why are you wasting my time, eh? I have better things to do, ladies, than stand around and talk like this.
No, don't go, Ma.
Take your hand off me. I have things to do.
Don't go, please, Ma. I have heard that you have threatened a member of your staff. You have threatened to dismiss somebody.
Excuse me. I am the head cook. Do you understand what that means? I am the catering manager. That is who I am. I take on some staff and push some staff out. Some people are not good workers. Now, if you'd excuse me, Ma.
Don't go. Ma Ramotswe has not finished.
So you have found your tongue, have you? Well, you can tell your Mara Motswe that I am not standing around here talking to people I don't even know. Thank you, Ma. Goodbye.
One moment, please. People get dismissed for more than one reason. Somebody who was stealing food, for example, that person would be dismissed if it were found out that government food was being given to her husband. That is called theft, Ma. And it usually leads to dismissal, you know.
You have become very quiet, Masau. Have you not got anything to say to Mara Motswe?
Maybe it was you who wrote that letter. Maybe you have come for money.
I did not write that letter, and nor did that girl.
Then who did?
I have no idea. But it had nothing to do with that girl. There is somebody else who is blackmailing you. That is what this is, you know. If that person is blackmailing you, then he will be blackmailing others. We can stop that.
And you won't report me?
Not if you stop doing the thing that I would report you for.
No more free meals for your husband.
A diet is a hard thing, Ma. But after a while, you feel better. Do you still have that letter?
I do. I will fetch it for you.
That's the turning, Charlie. Down there.
I'm not sure about this.
What are you not sure about?
Well, I'm not sure if Mr. J.L.B. Mataconi would have wanted me to take the truck.
But
you're new here. You don't know the rules.
He lets you drive it. Hmm? You are his apprentice. An apprentice is allowed to drive the garage truck.
Own garage business. What sort of business is this? Going out to Mokolodi at night?
This is detective agency business. Garage, detective agency, same thing.
Then why is Mara Motswe not with us? Or Ma Makutsi?
Because I am going to surprise them.
And me too. You haven't told me what this is about.
All right. Take that road down there. That's the one. All right. Ma Ramotswe was out here at Mokolodi not long ago. She said that the manager asked her to look into some troubles that they have. He said that there was a very bad atmosphere and people seemed to be frightened of something.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard Mama Kutsi talking about it at tea.
Exactly. Now, Ma Ramotswe is very busy, isn't she? So if I could solve that problem for her, then she will be very happy, won't she?
If you can solve it. But what do you know about it, Ra?
Rather more than you think, Charlie. I have a cousin who works here and I asked him. He told me about the curse that was coming to this place.
Huh? Curse? I don't want to get mixed up with curses.
You won't be. You just concentrate on driving. Slowly now. We're going to park over there and then we can walk.
I am very unhappy, Mr. Polopetsi.
Yeah, many people are unhappy, Charlie. That's what we have come to deal with.
I had looked at the letter which Ma Sau had passed on to me. I had held it up to the light and examined it, and I had even sniffed at it, hoping that there might be some clue somewhere which would point to the blackmailer. But there was nothing. The letter was neatly typed, and there was nothing unusual about the paper. So I was no wiser after having seen the letter than I had been before. But there was still something about it that made me think I knew who had written it. What would the blackmailer do, I asked myself. That is, when she, and I am sure that it was a woman, that is, when she was not busy blackmailing, what would be the best profession for a blackmailer? A doctor, perhaps, since a doctor would hear so many secrets from patients. But would a doctor ever stoop so low? And then, later that morning, a doctor came into the office. Not personally, of course, but in the course of a conversation with a client who arrived without an appointment, as people sometimes do, and looking embarrassed, as people often do when they come into the office of a private detective.
This is the place, is it? The number one ladies detective agency?
It is, ma. Ah. You have come to the right place. I am Mama Kutsi, assistant detective. And that lady at the desk is Mara Mutsui.
Oh, that is her. She's very well known. But tell me, ma, how much does it cost to speak to her? Is it very, very expensive?
Oh, no. We do not need to talk about that just yet, ma. Ah. It is not as expensive as you think. And we charge according to how much people can afford to pay. We do not charge very much, so don't think about it.
Mara Motswe, this lady would like to have a word with you.
Hello, ma. I'm very happy to talk to you. Please, sit down.
Come.
And Mama Kutsi will make you some tea. Are there any donuts this morning, Mama Kutsi? Perhaps our visitor would like a donut?
I have not brought any donuts, ma. I'm thinking of your diet.
You are on a diet, ma?
Yes, ma, I am. And it is not easy.
Oh, you are being very responsible. Oh, thank you. I am a nurse, you see, and I know that there are many people who should be on a diet, but who are not. I see that all the time, ma.
Well, yes. Well, I suppose so. Now, you say you are a nurse, but you haven't told me your name yet.
Do I have to tell you, ma? Do I have to?
It would be better if you did.
Oh, thank you.
You must not worry that we shall go and speak to others about what you tell us. We have heard everything in this job, and we keep everything to ourselves. There is no need to be ashamed.
But I am not ashamed. I have done nothing wrong. I am not ashamed.
Good.
I am frightened. I'm not ashamed. I'm frightened.
You do not need to be frightened here, ma. We are your friends.
Oh, thank you. In that case, I shall tell you who I am. My name is Witelo Mampodi. I'm a nurse, but I do not work in a hospital. Mm-hmm. I trained in a hospital, of course, out at Molepolole, at the hospital there. There was a very good doctor there in those days. I trained with him. Do you think that a doctor can be a criminal, ma?
I think they can be. There have been some very wicked doctors who have even killed their patients. You haven't stumbled across something like that, have you, ma?
Not quite. I think I should tell you a bit more, Mara Motswe, and Mam Kutsi. When I left Molepelole, I came to work in the hospital here in Haprone, the Princess Marina Hospital. I had a job in the theater there, and I was good at that job. I was given promotion, but then, well, ma, can you imagine standing all day under those hot lights? Pass this thing, nurse, pass that thing, all day. And I didn't like those bright lights. I think they gave me a headache. When I came out of the theater and closed my eyes, I could still see those bright lights. They were still there. So I decided to do something different. I saw an advertisement for a nurse in a general practitioner's clinic. I was interested in this, and it was not too far from where I lived. I could walk to work in the cooler weather. So I went for an interview, and that is where I was asked a trick question.
That is happening a lot these days in interviews. They ask you trick questions. They make you fill in forms which are made up by psychologists to trip you up.
I'm not sure, Mama Kutsi. Maybe they're just trying to find out what you're like.
Then they should speak to your mother. They should interview the mother.
But mothers will never tell the truth about their children. They will want them to get the job.
Oh, I know that. No, the reason why they should speak to the mother is that they should really interview her.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are just like their mothers. Everybody knows that. Then they would know what the person wanting the job was really like.
I think that we are getting away from the subject here, Mama Kutsi. That is a very interesting theory. But we must listen to Buetelu. Please, continue, Ma. What was this trick question?
He said to me that he had a friend who had just had an operation in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me his name, and there had been such a person there. It was quite a well-known person. That man who plays football. You know the one. He asked me to tell him how the operation had gone.
I had heard that he was in hospital. Mm. It was on the radio. He became ill at a football match. How did it go, Ma? There was nothing in the papers.
But that was the point. That was the trick question.
I don't see what was tricky about that.
I said to him, I cannot tell you the answer to that because it is confidential. We cannot talk about what happens to any particular patient.
Ah, I see. That was clever of him. And you won't tell Mama Kutsi either. That is quite right.
At first, I thought he was cross. He asked me again and told me that I must tell him. But I said that I could not. Then, suddenly, he seemed pleased and told me that I would be a very suitable person for the job if I wanted it.
Let me get this right, Botelho. You said that the patient was waiting to go in to see the doctor?
Yes. He had come very early, and the doctor was still at lunch. He would not be back for at least half an hour. So I talked to the patient because I had nothing else to do. He told me that he was worried about his blood pressure, which the doctor had told him was far too high. He said that he had been trying to get it down, but had not succeeded very well. Then he said to me, "Can you take blood pressure? I'll show you." That is what he said.
And you can?
Of course I can. It's easy. We have a special instrument with a long name that everybody trips up over, so we just call it the sphig. You wrap a cloth band round the arm and you pump it up. It's very simple. I said to that man that I would do it for him while we were waiting, just out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor would do it later, of course. So I did.
And it was very high?
No, quite normal. So I did it again, but I didn't say anything to the patient because I thought that I was not getting it right. Mm-hmm. I just said that the doctor would talk to him about it. He assumed that I had got a very high reading again. And so he just nodded his head and looked a bit glum.
Maybe the instrument was faulty.
Maybe. And people's blood pressure goes up and down sometimes. So I didn't think any more about it. But I did look at his record card later after the doctor had filled it in. I saw that the pressure recorded was high. Mm. And I saw that he was on pills for it. They are quite an expensive drug. A very expensive one, in fact.
I think I can see where this is leading, Ma. Yes, the doctor is making people take pills they don't need. I have heard that this happens. And sometimes people are even given operations they don't need, as long as they can pay for them.
No, no, no. That is not what was happening. I thought of that, you see, and I decided to check up on things myself. I borrowed an old sphig from a friend who worked in a clinic. Then I looked at the records of patients who arrived for appointments, and I took the blood pressure of those who had high blood pressure readings on their records. It was easy to do that, as the doctor cannot see what is going on in the reception room, and the patients thought it was normal for the nurse to check up on that. Then I looked at the readings which the doctor had written on the record cards.
And they were different?
No, they were the same. The readings were roughly the same.
Oh, Well, Ma, I don't quite see why you've come to see us about this. If things are normal...
But they aren't, Ma. They aren't normal because one of our patients had a stroke and ended up in hospital. It was not a serious stroke because he recovered quickly and was quite well. But he had a stroke and he was one of the ones with high blood pressure. The doctor became very agitated about this. I could see that he was worried. He asked me to look at the patient's records. And when he gave them back to me, I noticed something. He had changed the blood pressure readings. I knew because I had looked when I had the patient had been taken to hospital. When the records came back from the doctor, they had been changed.
A low reading had become a high one.
No. A high one had become a low one.
I see. That is very strange. And then?
The doctor, he came out of his consulting room the next day and asked me whether I had been looking at the records of that particular patient. I do not like to tell a lie, and so I said, I passed them on to you as you asked. He said nothing for a moment, but he gave me a funny look, a look which really frightened me. Then he went back to his room.
And now you are frightened. I can understand that, Ma.
Yes, because that particular patient's records have now disappeared altogether. They have been destroyed.
How do you know that, Ma? Maybe they have been filed in the wrong place. That happens, you know.
They have been burned, Ma. I went out to the back of the surgery because I had dropped something out of the window and I needed to get it back. And I saw a little pile of burned paper. The doctor had tried to burn them, but a small corner remained, and I could tell that it was a record card.
Well, Mama Kutsi, what do you make of that nurse who came to see us?
I can understand why she is frightened, Ma. There is something bad going on there.
Yes, but what? I think that I'm going to have to pay that doctor a call.
Oh, be careful.
I will. But now I think we had better get back to our friend Poppy. I have had an idea about that case, Ma.
Good. I cannot think of how we can deal with that. I have no ideas on it at all.
Well, I do. I saw Poppy again, you see, quite by chance, at the shops. I said, let's have a cup of tea together. And while we were sitting there, I got a bit more information out of her. I got her to tell me something that she had forgotten to tell us. She told me that before she came to see us, she had written with her problem to another lady who is very good at solving problems.
Another detective? But is there one, Ma? I thought you were the only private detective in Botswana.
Not a private detective. Auntie Emang. The agony aunt. The lady in the papers who can advise you about anything.
That is very funny. Auntie Emang?
Yes. And now I think we are going to write to Auntie Emang ourselves. Could you take a letter, please, Mama Kutsi? Thank you. It begins like this. Dear Auntie Emma, I'm writing to you because I know that you give very good advice. I am a private detective, and my name is Mara Motswe. A few days ago, I met a lady who said that she was being blackmailed. She told me that she is the head cook at a college and that she is being accused of giving government food to her husband. I wondered whether this lady was telling me the truth, but she showed me the letter that she had received and I saw that it was true. Then she said something very odd. She said that she had been told by somebody else that the blackmailer worked at your newspaper. I was very shocked by this, Auntie Emang, and I do not know what to do. One part of me tells me that I should go straight to the police and inform them. Another says that this is something that should be sorted out quietly. So that is why I'm writing to you, because you are well known to be a lady who gives very good advice. Please, come and see me, Auntie Emang, and we can talk about this. You will see where my office is from the top of this letter. I am waiting for you. Please come and help. Your friend, although I do not know you, Precious Ramotswe. There. What do you think of that letter, Mama Kutsi?
It is very good. I will type it now. But will she come, Ma?
Oh, she will come, Mama Kutsi. Auntie Emang will certainly come. If we drop that letter at the newspaper offices this afternoon, we shall see her tomorrow. I am pretty sure of that.
Clever Maramotswe. I went off to deliver that letter to the newspaper. Charlie drove me in the garbage truck. On the way there, he said something which surprised me. I have known Charlie for a long time, and I know that he does silly things, but I never thought that he would try to get involved in one of Maramotswe's cases. But he had. He and Mr. Polopetsi, the two of them, had decided to act themselves.
But Charlie, you're no man to stick your nose into Maramotswe's business.
It is not sticking our noses in. It's called helping.
Only if you're asked. She did not ask you. What did you do?
We were very clever. Mr. Polopetsi and I went down to Mokolodi. Maramotswe had been asked to look into some troubles down there. Mr. Polopetsi had a source. And that is what you people call a person who gives you information, don't you? He had a source down there, and the source told him that the reason why everyone was worried was that somebody had brought a ground hornbill round, and it was being looked after by Neil. Now, you know that sort of bird is very, very bad luck. If you have that bird around the place, then there will be a curse. Everybody knows that.
Nonsense.
You try telling people that this is nonsense. See if they believe you, Mama Kutsi.
So, what did you do?
Well, this bird was being looked after while its wing was healing. It had broken its wing. But it seemed to want to stay around the place, and everyone was terrified. So, we took it. We solved the problem for them.
You took the ground hornbill? And what did you do with it? You'll be the one who gets the curse on you. You and Mr. Polopetsi.
It is at the garage now. It is in the box behind the garage. We are looking after it.
It is 3 o'clock, Ma. It is time for me to put on the kettle.
Yes, a good idea. I'm ready for tea.
There's no sign of Auntie Emang yet, Ma. We have waited all this morning, and now it is halfway through the afternoon. You said that she would definitely come today, after that letter of yours.
She will come, don't worry. She will come.
Well, we shall see. Maramotswe, there is something I wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the truck with Charlie yesterday, when he was driving me to the newspaper offices, he told me about something that he and Mr. Polopetsi did. I think that they are going to tell you themselves, but I thought that I would just...
Later, Mama Kutsi. Later. Look through the window there. That large car. See it?
I see it, Ma.
I think that the fly is coming into the spider web, if I may refer to us, Mama Kutsi, as a couple of spiders.
I do not understand, Ma. What fly?
Yes, I was right. You see that lady getting out? That tiny little lady? The short one. That is our friend Auntie Emang herself. And look! Yes, here she comes. Back to your desk, Mama Kutsi. We must pretend to be very busy people.
Coco! May I come in, ladies?
Yes, you may, Ma. Please, come in. We are very busy, but you may come in.
So, this is the number one ladies' detective agency. I have heard of this place. I did not think it would be so small. Not much of an office,
It is fine for us, Ma. We have modest needs. But please, Ma, sit down. I am Maro Motswe, and this is Mama Kutsi. And you, I take it, are the famous Auntie Imang.
I am that person. Thank you. I will sit down. Now, I do not believe in beating about the bush. You wrote me a letter. Mm-hmm. You did the right thing there, Ma.
Well, I thought you should know, Auntie Imang. You are a very wise person, and it's best for a wise person to sort this out. Isn't it, Mama Kutsi?
It is, Ma.
Yes, you are right. Now then, this person who said that somebody at my newspaper was blackmailing her is just talking nonsense. Complete nonsense. We get many letters like that. Letters from people who are often a little bit wrong in the head. Maybe it is the sun. I don't know. Anyway, we just put them straight in the bin. I see you have a bin here. Use it.
Well, I hear lots of stories in my work, too. Some of these, as you say, are quite false. But there are others that are true.
Yes, yes, of course some are true. Some of them. But why would you think this one is?
Because I trust the person who told me. I think that she is telling the truth. She is not a person to make things up.
If you thought that, then why did you write to me for my advice?
I'm sorry about that singing, Ma. That is from the school over there. The children sing in the afternoon sometimes.
And in the morning.
Yes, yes. But answer my question, please. Why write to me if you think that silly letter is true? Why waste my time?
Because you, Auntie Imang, are the blackmailer. That is why.
You are speaking lies, fat woman.
Oh, am I? Well, here are some details. Ma Tsau, that is the name of the lady. She was stealing food. You blackmailed her because she was going to lose her job if anybody found out. Then there are other cases. There is a man I know who has been having an affair. He is a cousin of mine. You have been making him pay you money to stop you telling his wife. I know about that case too. And another man too, one who is a politician. You have been blackmailing him.
This man is a cheat. He deserves it. You cannot side with him, Ma. Anyway, you cannot prove any of this. You have no proof. I am not going to waste my time talking to you.
You are right, Ma. I have no proof. But I can tell you this. Mama Kutsi and I pretend to be busy, but we really are not. We have lots and lots of time. And I promise you one thing. We will be very happy to spend all our time, all of it, finding the proof we need. And if we don't, well, then we always have the tape recording.
What tape recording?
Of our conversation right now. Shall I ask Mama Kutsi to play it back to you, Ma? Would you like to hear yourself saying what you said about that man who is cheating on his wife? About how he deserves what you are doing to him? No. I see that you are not keen to hear that.
What do you want? Money? We can sort this out, you know.
But that would make me a blackmailer myself, Auntie Imang. I am surprised at you. I really am. No, that is not what I want. What I want from you is this. No more Auntie Imang. No more blackmailing letters. Do you understand? You will resign from the column. You will say that Auntie Imang is tired of giving all this good advice and is going off to her kettle post right now. You have given a lot of advice in your life, Auntie Imang. Now it's time for you to take some advice yourself. So, I'm sure that you will do what I have just suggested. Things are nice and quiet out at the kettle posts. You will have a good retirement, and if you take my advice, as I'm sure you will, Then Mama Kutsi and I will feel that we do not need to bother the police with your case. They have so much else to do, you see. Well, Mama Kutsi, now we can have our rather delayed cup of tea. What a pity Auntie Imang felt that she could not stay and join us in a cup. It would have been most interesting.
She has to go off and get ready to go out to the cattle post.
Yes, that will keep her quiet for a while. Mind you, I shall miss her column, Ma. She always wrote funny answers and gave some very good advice, too.
Well, all the time she was using the stories that people sent her. Mm. All those confessions. What a wonderful job for a blackmailer.
Yes, well, I think that's all over now.
Who was that man, by the way, Maramutswe? That cousin of yours?
Oh, him. He doesn't exist. Or put it this way, I'm sure that such a person exists, although he's not my cousin. I made him up, but I was pretty sure that she would be blackmailing some man for exactly that. And I think she was.
And the tape recorder, made up, of course. And the politician, imaginary.
Yes. But did you notice how she did not look at all puzzled? So I was right there, too. She is blackmailing a politician. I wonder which one.
You are a very clever lady, Maramutswe.
You are kind to say that, Mama Kutsi. But I don't think I am. Our job is common sense, you see. That's all there is to it, common sense. And the occasional cup of red bush tea. That's all. Is the tea ready yet? We have to talk about that other case. Boitello and that doctor. I have been thinking about that, Mama Kutsi. And I have had an idea. Not a big idea, but a small one. Those pills that the doctor is giving his patients, I wonder what shape and color they are.
I have no idea. Did you ask Boitello?
No, but I can find out. There, the kettle's boiled. Mama Kutsi, you're wearing your old shoes. Where are those lovely new blue shoes of yours, the fashionable ones?
You should rotate your shoes, Ma. That is what they say. Wear one pair for a day or two, and then another.
I see.
Actually, Ma, those fashionable shoes are a bit small for me. I think you were right about them. But I felt great happiness when I wore them, and I shall always remember that. They are such beautiful blue shoes.
Well, that's the important thing, isn't it, Ma? To feel happiness and to remember it.
I think that's true, Maramutswe. But they were such lovely shoes, Ma. The color of the sky.
But the sky is still there, Ma. It's there, isn't it? We can all look up at it if we want to.
The Number One Ladies Detective Agency was written and dramatized by Alexander McCall Smith. Mara Motswe was played by Claire Benedict, and Mama Kutsi by Nadine Marshall. Ma Tsao was played by Janice Akwa, Boitello by Ajua Ando, Charlie by Maynard Eziashi, Mr. Polopetsi by Patterson Joseph, and Auntie Imang by Ali Parsons. The director was Gaynor McFarlane.